Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. If you miss any of the show, of course, you can always grab the podcast. Just search the term Sports Junkies. Download the podcast wherever you do that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, going to talk some NBA draft with one of the best college hoops insiders here shortly, John Fanta. You've said that you like the Trey Johnson pick. Did you want them at the moment? I know you were upset that they didn't have Ace Bailey. Did you want them to go Trey Johnson, or did you want them to go Jeremiah Fears?
I like the Johnson pick. I didn't like the suit, but I like the pick.
You didn't want Demon, who was like the first.
I like Demon, but I think that he's more of a project.
Yeah. All right, John Fanta joins us now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Hey, John.
What's happening, guys? Yeah. Good morning. Great to be with you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
We're trying to figure out about the Wizards draft choice, Trey Johnson. We kind of like it, but fill us in a little bit more. You watch these guys a lot more than we do.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good pick. And of the guys who were taken, you know, for me, around 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 range, I think that's as good of a value selection at six that you're going to find in that range. I know that the Utah Jazz took Ace Bailey, and Ace Bailey got a lot of buzz to be, you know, maybe a top three prospect in this draft class. I understand the upside and the talent, but I wouldn't have touched Ace Bailey. I think he's undisciplined and has a long way to go to become a real pro. Trey Johnson averaged around 20 points per game and came up huge time and again as a freshman for Texas. And I'm just going to be real here. Texas didn't run offense. That's why Rodney Terry's no longer their coach. They didn't really have much of a game plan. And I think it's very, very hard when you're a freshman and you're in a situation where you're on a team where there's not a lot of depth, and the perimeter play is, I would say, okay for the SEC, which was the best. Remember, the SEC was the best conference in the country by a wide, wide, wide margin. And Trey Johnson stepped in, and he said, I don't care. I'm just going to get buckets. I'm going to take contact in this rugged league. I'm going to score for my team. And there's certain things that have to come along. But the length, the versatility, the ability to hit pull-up shots, I believe in Trey Johnson. And I don't think that he has even fully, you know, scratched the surface, framed out, figured everything out quite yet, which is encouraging for the Wizards. At the end of the day, the Washington Wizards become a draft winner for me for two reasons. Number one, they kept their pick and they got a valuable player in Trey Johnson. Good job. Number two, they shed Jordan Poole. I wouldn't have believed that that would have happened, and they were able to do that in this draft week. So for me, that gets a thumbs up. Because you have over $100 million set up in cap space next year. You have a lot going your way for your future. Now, you have, what do we always say? You have to have the right people make the right decisions. But I would say more of a win for the Wizards collectively than a loss.
What did you think going in as far as this overall draft? I feel like the last few years they haven't been that great. There have been, you know, some great players right at the very top, of course. But as we were researching this, you know, we were initially disappointed that we didn't win the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes. And I was thinking, who are we going to get at six? I was pleasantly surprised. I was like, man, I think this is actually a decent draft. I think some of these guys are going to be really impactful players. Not like back in the day, but I think it's a pretty good draft, if I had to guess.
Well, I think it's a really good draft.
Mm-hmm.
And that's evidenced by, you know, a guy like I considered the Thunder to be a draft night winner because they went and got Thomas Sorber at 15 out of Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, when Sorber, first off, I think we all know that Sam Presti has an idea of how to draft in the middle of the first round. He took Shai Gilgeous-Alexander 11th. He took Jalen Williams 12th. The fact that he got Sorber last night, who before he got hurt, I thought was trending towards that range. It was just a matter of if a GM would be willing to pick him. Thomas Sorber was a top 15 prospect, and Sam Presti was wise to take him there, in my humble opinion. That's my point here, though. This was a really, really good draft class. when these kids were in high school, guys, I covered a lot of them on the circuit and had them at Peach Jam. The Peach Jam that all these kids played in was ridiculous. Like, in high school, you'd be going from one gym to the next, and it's Harper in one gym hooping, Bailey in another, Flag having like a sold-out crowd, more people in his gym than you see at some college games. And it was just so much fun, and you're sitting there like, man, these kids are all going to end up being in the same class. Mm-hmm. And then they get to college, and like, I think that, and maybe you guys believe me, maybe you feel differently, but remember last November when Flag was starting out early on, and he played Kentucky and Kansas.
Yep.
And in both games, late in the game, he stumbled.
Yeah, he had turnovers. You know,
and he had turnovers.
Yep.
You know how our world works. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all guilty of it in some way, shape. Oh, he's not made for the moment. You know? Like, and then look what happens once he got cooking. And that's, you could say the same about a variety of players in this class. Konka Nipple comes to mind. Johnson certainly comes to mind. Jeremiah Fierce comes to mind too. Although I like that the Wizards got Johnson over Fierce, but this to me was a class, and it's a class that's going to be remembered more so than previous ones. And I'm not just blowing smoke. I thought last year's draft class was historically weak, to be candidly honest with you. Washington was kind of set up in a tough spot because there just weren't a bunch of American-born college players. But the fact is, this was a class where the one-and-done freshmen, they returned in a big way because the college COVID year has gone away. It was the first year without it. And it allowed some of these kids to not always be playing, like to not have every third game be against a 25-year-old.
So getting back, to the Bailey versus Johnson. So do you think that the Utah Jazz, who took Bailey at 5, should have taken Trey Johnson over Bailey?
Well, I would have if I were general manager.
Right.
I understand why the Utah Jazz took Bailey, and because they got Walter Clayton as well, I think it's a good draft for the Utah Jazz, because if you're Utah, guys, you were in a position at 5 where you're kind of in between, right? Of you could go and get, you know, the highest upside swing. And I understand that with Bailey at that position in the draft. So I'm not denying Bailey's upside. I just think Ace is a guy who out of the gates, you know, he's going to a place that the shots are there for him to take. Not that Washington doesn't have that, but like, I mean, if I traded for CJ McCollum, and he sat down with my rookie and you know, you trade for him to be in your locker room and try to, and, you know, get your culture going again. Well, a guy like that is going to say to an Ace Bailey, hey, man, this is kind of how things are done. And I think that H needs time. You know, I don't think that he's fully disciplined yet, and I don't think he's ready, you know, to impact winning in the NBA. I think he's ready to deliver. You know, could he have a 30-point game next season? Of course. It's the NBA and the regular season has nights where, you know, that could happen for a random player because of, you know, just the lack of defense in December and January at times. But I would have taken Johnson because I think that he is a guy who showed me, one, he could lead a team to an NCAA tournament. Two, he could average around 20 points per game in the SEC, which was just a ridiculous league. He impacted winning. That Texas team doesn't make the tournament without that kid, and it's hard as a freshman, again, to be on the team that he was on to get there. So if I'm in that role, that's who I'm taking. And I thought Washington then at 6, with the circumstances, the fact is Bailey wasn't on the board. It doesn't mean I'd come on this show today had the Wizards taken, let's just say Bailey was there and they take him. Doesn't mean I'd be tearing this pick apart. I think that Bailey's upside comes with a lot of things that have to still get framed out from a discipline standpoint. Johnson has to look at shot selection himself at the next level. But what Johnson showed this past year, he showed me a lot more that impacted actual winning. And that matters to me. Yeah. It has to.
Right. It's interesting. If you look at the top five or six players, you know, Cooper Flagg is obviously going to Dallas, and they've got some superstars. I mean, Kyrie's going to be hurt for a while, but they've got veterans that, so he's not going to be asked to carry that team. Dylan Harper, same deal. Edgecombe, same deal. Knepel, you know, he's got right. Brandon Miller and Ball. And so they're not going to be asked to do a lot early. But Bailey, in a different story, because Utah's roster is poo besides Markkanen. And they, so he'll be, you're right, he's going to be taking a lot of shots early.
Well, you could be taking a lot of shots. And you know what? For you and for your next paycheck, that could be a very nice thing.
Yeah.
But the NBA is showing us, you know, I found it interesting. Sometimes we roll our eyes at stuff. That lines that commissioners use, right? I don't know if anybody caught this last night. Adam Silver walked up to the podium, and he basically flipped around what some people have kind of been, you know, disrupted by. And I thought it was, you know, a different line, but I'm like, well, he's right. And this draft is kind of, I mean, the last couple drafts are evidence of it. He said, you know, welcome to the NBA draft. In the NBA, we've had seven different champions in the last 7 years. So NBA fans, you know, he made sure to, like, you know, not, I don't know if he was taking a dig at the other leagues, but the fact is more so than the NFL and certainly Major League Baseball right now. He said, it's the NBA where you can open up your season and you feel like, you know, more of you feel like you have a shot. It's basically what he was trying to say. And I think that was the interesting thing about this draft and kind of where things fall. Now, this goes back to, like, should we continue to do a lottery? Is that the best decision? Because, you know, Dallas didn't deserve that pick, but they got lucky. And, you know, Washington should have had a top three pick. Let's be honest here. I mean, I felt bad from getting sixth. But I do think that to your point, like, this is now a league where role allocation has never been more important. And strategic spending has never been more important because of the second apron situation. I will say this. We go back to the Washington Wizards. The Washington Wizards have lined things up to strategically spend money, and the Washington Wizards made a valuable pick last night in the draft. They didn't try to overcomplicate it. The Brooklyn Nets had five first-round picks. They might have swung and missed on all of them.
Oh, wow. I mean, well, they took a bunch of international players. I saw that. But real quick, before we let you go, getting back to the Wizards. So they do you think they should have kept Clayton, not traded that pick to Utah, or do you like Will Riley?
Well, I like Will Riley. You know, Will Riley to me is, you know, 6'7", dynamic wing, who, again, like, defensively still has some things to figure out. He's more of an upside swing. He is a project, but he showed a couple times for Illinois this past year that he could take over the game. And drive to the rim, has a really good first step. The shot still needs a little bit of work, but I do like him and thought he would go somewhere, you know, in between the 18 and 24 range. So loaded with talent and is a guy who's bloomed a lot over the last year. You know, Clayton, I like Walter Clayton quite a bit. I thought he was a great story. And, you know, Utah had they had a good draft. With the two guys that they picked, you know, the thing with Clayton, and, like, Riley doesn't fit into this category. Clayton, the size is a bit of an issue, mm-hmm. because in the NBA, you need to be able to have it at some point to function. Or if you can't, then you better be a damn good shot maker and not be holding a team back defensively. So look, I like Walter Clayton a lot. The guy won a national championship. We all know that sometimes doing that doesn't always just equate to huge success in the NBA. And there is evidence that say guys at his height that are picked in the top 20 over the years, that hasn't always panned out from a value perspective. In terms of the upside, which I think when you get deeper in the first round, that's what you want. Riley would be the better side there for a team like where Washington stands.
Right.
John, we got to run. Always love talking to you.
Good stuff, buddy.
Thank you guys for having me. Thank you. I envy your quarterback room. Big time. Envy your quarterback room.
Thank you, buddy.
Oh, you know what? Real quick, in like 30 seconds or less, who's your guy there in Cleveland? Your personal guy.
Almighty.
Who would you want?
Where's the rosary?
Well, you got to pick from the four. Who does John Phantom?
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, pick from the four. I mean, my God. I mean, wow. You know, it's like I'm trying to think of what it's like. I mean,
you're not a Shador guy?
I feel like I'm like on The Price is Right in 1978, and I like bring out an old TV set. I say, highest bidder, go ahead. Like, or closest bidder, go ahead. Like, I don't know. No, I mean, I would say Flacco week one. Like, here's the other thing. Everyone's like, you know, first off, Kenny Pickett, I don't even understand why he's in that room, but okay. Dylan Gabriel, you took him in the third round. So does he have a legitimate shot? Because you took him in the third round. I would say Flacco week one because of the fact that if Kevin Stefanski goes 3-14, he's going to lose his job.
Yep.
Week one, they host the Bengals. Joe Burrow's been notoriously bad in Cleveland over the years. So I would say Flacco. They try to recreate magic at first. And then, yeah, give Shador and Gabriel a shot. You have the Jacksonville Jaguars pick next spring. I don't think Jacksonville's going to be all that good, even with Travis Hunter. So, you know, they're going to – well, you know me, guys. We'll just take another quarterback or two.
All right, John. Good stuff. We'll talk to you soon.
See you, buddy.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. See you.
All right. That's John Fanta from Fox Sports. Keep it here.